This is the Norton and Hales Cricket Club Podcast.
Welcome back to part 4 of episode 11 of the Norton and Hales Cricket Club podcast. My name is Simon Dyer and I am joined by special guest Martin Davis, aka Slap. And in part 4, for those of you that are avid followers of the podcast, you will understand that in part 4 we go through who are the best players you played with or against. And if you're unfamiliar with the format, the first one is we go through the best overseas cricketers you played with or against, the best paid cricketers, whether they be overseas or UK that you played with or against, and then finally the best club cricketers that you played with or against, and obviously we wrap up the podcast. So, good evening, Martin. I know that we've had a bit of a chuckle off air talking about people that have pulled punches on this particular segment.
Big time. Yeah.
Not naming any names. Ben Furnival.
Jack Furnival.
Matt Lawrenson?
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. Okay,
yeah,
good.
Oh, no good overseas, though.
Yeah, I don't think Everton on D have had one of those. No. Although I did drive through Everton on the way to Snowdon the other week, and I have to say, it must be very wet playing cricket there, yeah, given the fact that the D breaks his banks every other week. So, let's go in then. Let's go straight in. Best overseas you ever played against?
A tough one, actually. I'm not going to sit the fence. I will say at some point my favourite one or best one. I've been playing the Birmingham League, playing against some top overseas players. Mm-hmm. Top overseas players. Shropshire League as well, early doors, some top overseas players. There was a guy once playing for Shiffle against, and he was just phenomenal. His name was Prince Bradman Edewiri. He was phenomenal. He looked like a little Indian cricketer, mm-hmm, you know, scruffy looking jumper.
Yeah.
He bowled at a serious rate of knots, mm-hmm, and he batted like he was half asleep. He was phenomenal. I mean, different level. Maz Hasnain, when he first came over from the Church Fair, as a young lad, yeah, was frightening. There was a few good Aussies about back in the day, a couple of Shifnal. But the lad from Shifnal, Edewiri, for me was just so good. He was so good. He bowled quick and lovely bloke as well. Could field. He bowled very quick. Still small fella, skiddy, but he was quick. You know, back in the day, Shifnal lad, Adam Shinlan, Shropshire opening bowler, Gary Gilbert, it was slippery. When I was about 16, 17, facing those pair, thinking, Christ, they've come off now, great. This little Indian comes on, thinking, great. I'm looking back, thinking, why is the keeper that far back? This lad's come off about 15 yards, and it zoomed straight through. And I was thinking, my God, where's that come from? He was rapid, man. Absolutely rapid. And there was a fellow once, actually, played much Wenlock. He's about now still, called Kuldeep Dhawan, mm-hmm, spinner. He was class. He teed off a bit with the bat and he could hit it, but bowling wise, he just bowled everything. He bowled, you know, doozers, he bowled leggies, he bowled offies, and every ball you could hear the ball fizzing down at you.
Yeah.
And for a spinner, that was hard because he bowled everything. I had a couple of good battles with him, actually. But I think Eddie Weir at Shifnal, he has to have it for me. He was class.
So go through that again, because obviously I'm listening to you and I've not picked that up. So the name again is
Prince Bradman Edewiri. His name was. He was first class cricketer. India, I think it was.
India.
What a player.
And he played at Shifnal.
Shifnal, yeah.
Okay, cool. So it's funny you talk about, obviously, cricketers that have effects, especially at our level. Because again, I've played with people like Cameron Coffey. Tino Best, they don't have a massive effect on the cricket because, you know, we all know if you bowl fourth, fifth stump counting line, cricketers aren't going to hit it, but you do have cricketers that have a massive effect on club cricket. They probably, you know, if you take them into, I remember playing against Herath, you know, Schlenker legend, blah blah blah, there's been countless podcasts and blogs written about him, how very ineffective he was at club cricket level.
Yeah.
what is it you think that makes a good overseas at club cricket? What's their ability? It doesn't necessarily come back to ability. Is it an attitude? Is it
a bit of everything?
A gusto?
Yeah, a bit of everything. I think if you employ an overseas bowler, they're going to bowl the stumps.
Yeah.
In club cricket, they bowl the stumps. They've got a lot of wickets. Batsman, you've just got to get lots and lots of runs. It sounds obvious. Sounds most obvious answer going, mm-hmm. But
yeah.
You know, if you're going to be a batsman, come over here and as a batsman, you've got to fill your boots. You've got lots and lots of runs. You pay to get lots of runs. You've got to score lots of runs.
Hit bad bowling, haven't you?
Or score off every bowling. You know, just score. You know, we had an overseas at Wem a couple of years ago. I've forgot his name now. Tall South African fast bowler. He bowled, I think he got like 70 or 80 wickets. He bowled the stumps, you know. And the frustrating time was when he missed the stumps, you know, he thought, why bowl the stumps? Because he was that good. He thought, bowl the stumps, bowl the stumps, bowl the stumps. So for an overseas player, you know, you're asking someone to come over here and do exactly, a bit like Ron said, do exactly what he says in the tin.
Mm-hmm.
Come over here and get me wickets, get me runs, that's it.
Yeah.
You're not asking to come over here and beat the bat. Because when we had an overseas years ago called Daryl Tuffy, and he played for New Zealand, Daryl Tuffy.
Yeah.
And
he was too good. Yeah.
He bowled against all the Marquettes playing Shropshire, and they couldn't lay a bat on him, but he didn't get him out a lot. He got about 25 wickets.
Yeah.
You're thinking, hang on, he's beat the bat by 6 inches. And you're thinking, oh, great delivery, no wicket. Great delivery, no wicket. You're thinking, come on, get him out, you know. And that's why the likes of Eddie Weir I mentioned and Kuldeep Dhawan, they just got loads of wickets because they bowled at the stumps and they made people play shots. They made LBWs. That's what you want from overseas players.
Club cricketers, on average, will miss the ball.
Of course, more often than
this. If you're bowling four for stump, let them miss it.
If
you're playing for snicks, keepers' slips aren't as good as they are.
Of course, they're not. Not 85 mile an hour, they're not. They're used to it.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that's a different thing. We spoke about overseas cricketers. And we talk about attitudes as well. Like, I think for me, how many overseas cricketers you come over here, they basically treat it like a holiday.
Loads.
Like, you know, however, if a club's paid for your airfare, they're paying for accommodation, they're paying
for your work.
For your work and all that sort of stuff. You have a God given duty, obligation to turn up in the best battle you can do.
Yeah.
At 10:30, 11:30, wherever it is you're required to sit on the ground, and you give everybody, go and get destroyed as much as you want at the end of the game. But Friday nights are off limits and different things. That's the sole reason you're in the country.
Well, that's why you find that the top overseas that mm-hmm. basically do cricket as a job,
yeah.
generally are the best ones to get. They cost you more money,
yeah.
But they're better to get because they'll come over and they'll coach the kids,
yeah.
They'll graft, they'll work hard, they'll work hard on their own game, and they adapt quickly as well. Mm-hmm. It's different here to what it is in most countries at club level.
Yeah,
wickets aren't as fast, wickets do a bit more, bowlers aren't as quick, you know. But there's a lot of wily old bowlers about, mm-hmm. and you've got to work it out quick. And the best overseas players, the ones that come over here with the right attitude, and they do their job. That's it. That's what you want.
And that's the important thing to remember. It is doing a job, and that's the main thing. Okay, so very good explanation of the best overseas you've played against. Best overseas you've ever played with. I can name two that probably won't feature.
Yeah, I can as well. To be fair, I think a lot of the clubs I've played for in my lifetime have been full of top club cricketers, like Roxeter and Sheffield and Birmingham League. We never really employed a top overseas because we didn't need them, because we had our Roxeter team when I was first there in the Birmingham League was a minor counties team. Sheffield was the same as a minor counties team. So we had, you know, okay overseas that could do a job. I think the best overseas I've played with was at Wem, really. You know, we had some real top overseas players there. We had an Asian called Amir Saeed. He was a first class cricketer. He was an off spinner batter. He was quality. He was just quality. But the one that sticks out for me was a bit different. It was a wicked batsman. Duncan Breed, his name was. He played, I think he was in line for Australia, third in line for Australia behind Gilchrist. What's the one below him? He was below Gilchrist for a while. Haddam.
Yeah.
I think he was third in line at one point.
Yeah.
And he was a wicketkeeper, but oh my god, he's the best keeper. He stands anybody. You know, quick club cricketer bowlers, he stands to him, and leg side stumpings, everything. You know, I was at fine leg, I used to bowl back in the day, I used to be able to bowl a few balls. Mm-hmm. I'd be at fine leg thinking, where's that gone? And the bails were off, and I was walking off, I'm going to miss it. You know, but he could bat as well. He was a left-handed bat,
yeah,
and he was stylish. But he probably had a little bit of, I don't know, the Australian attitude, I'd call it, a bit of, he knew he was good. He probably could have been better than what he was in the end. He probably didn't fulfill his potential, but as an actual club cricketer, as an overseas player that I played with, he made the game look so easy.
But was he effective with what he did?
Oh yeah. From the bat, and he scored a lot of runs,
mm-hmm.
in what was a strong league still back then. But everybody that played against him was like, my God, how good is he with the gloves? Mm. He was just, I've never seen a keeper of that level in my lifetime.
Yeah.
You know, and that stands out for me. You know, we've all played with good club overseas. You know, when I won last year, got 1,000 runs. This year looks like a good one. You know, Norton had a couple of good ones in the past. Sometimes you get lucky with it, sometimes you don't. But you know, this lad from Australia was 19, 20 at the time. Oh, he was just his hands, his batting. But he was cool with it. You know, he was just cool. He was just like a laid back lad. You know, he liked a beer. You know, and that sort of stuff. But he could play. He was frightened. Duncan Green for me was frightening.
Good ones. Okay, so let's move on to. It's always a contentious issue because when we were growing up as boys. Paid cricketers, they were taboo subjects. We're talking brown envelopes, boot money, that sort of stuff. But we all knew it went on. I think over the last 10 years, 10, 12 years, it's gone open. So we know they exist. Best paid cricketer. Doesn't have to be overseas. Got to be a UK-based. Best paid cricketer that you've ever played against.
This is a bit tough one. Because there's loads. There's literally the Birmingham. I'm not sitting there. I'll name one. Don't worry. I'll name one that sticks out in your mind. I mean, having played most cricket over in Shropshire, I wouldn't say again. Not a massive. When you come to Staffordshire, there's more money getting thrown about. There's no doubt about that.
Mm-hmm.
Same in Birmingham, etc. In Shropshire, not so much. But having played cricket in the Birmingham League, you come across some real top paid players and. Keith Bell, Ian Bell's brother. He was at Nolan Dorridge.
He's played for Staffs.
Oh my God, what a player! He's. I mean, at one point, I think he was averaging about 90 in the league in the Prem or Division One. And I played against him once. I thought this lad just looks average. He was 40 and a half to 40 overs. Thinking, what is this? This has got. You know, he looked like his brother. He backed like his brother, Ian. Everything. He stylish, patient. After 55 overs, he was 125 not out. Mm. I'm thinking, you know, and he just took us apart. He was definitely a paid player. You know, he paid all his life. You know, he was a Keith Bell. Was my God, I played against him 3-4 times. I can't remember scoring less than 100. I think he was just a fantastic player. He didn't make mistakes. He just everything about him. He didn't bowl. He couldn't. He wasn't really an outstanding fielder, but he was. Top draw, and he was obviously Birmingham based, you know. I mean, with the Shropshire, you've got James Ralph's been about a few clubs being paid. I played with him a little bit and against him. He's a top club cricketer who gets paid when he plays. But Keith Bell was just, for me, he was the first class cricketer really looking at him, the way he played, the way he held himself, his average. If you're averaging 90 in Birmingham Prem, Birmingham Division 1, that's better than most first class cricketers get when they play in that league. You know, so he's not playing first class cricket, he asked me, but. He was different class, he was Keith Bell, for me.
I think that the point you're making there is why don't people play first class? But I also know a lot of people that play first class cricket do well, that aren't that great at club cricket.
Yeah,
and that brings back the argument that we had, not the conversation, but the statement we made in podcast episode 3 was you've got to be effective on a Saturday, don't you? You've got a lot of people that, if you're almost playing a different type of cricket, you've got a different way of getting people out, but you've also got people that are massively effective at club level.
Yeah.
Massively effective. However, if you then took them out of that, you think, why haven't they never made it first class? But then you also see, you ask questions, why have they made it first class? Because they never really did it at club level.
Yeah.
There's something a bit different. Yeah. So. At first, when I heard the Harry Gurney argument, I thought, you've been a bit of a dick. But I actually thought, you've actually probably got a bit of a valid point.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
So Keith Bell, best one you played against? Best one you played with?
Well, a lot of people don't admit they get paid, which makes it difficult to choose, I suppose. But, you know, I know when I was...
Okay, well, what we'll do is, to make this a bit easier, we'll make the assumptions that they
got paid.
Yeah, we'll put a disclaimer in that we don't actually officially know that they did, but we kind of assume.
Again, I've paid... I couldn't really... You know, name anybody in the Staffordshire League. I only played two seasons. It'd have to be Shropshire-based decisions. And you know, I've played with some good playing club cricketers. You know, when I was at Shifton Roxeter, you know, Adam Shimmons, the opening bowler, was obviously paid to play cricket. And he, when he was on it and at it, when I first faced him, he was genuinely quick, but a bit wild. As time went on, he got a bit more control. And as a bowler, he was good to watch, and he got a lot of wickets. James Ralph again comes into it. James Ralph was class. You know, he scored. I watched him score 100 against. I think Somerset, and he looked different level. And he's been playing cricket in Shropshire all his life, pretty much. But he's a paid player. He made cricket look so easy. And also John O'Whitney as well. John O'Whitney, who's now based in Australia, played a lot of cricket for Shropshire. Obviously, he's been paid to play cricket. He could bat, bowl, field. He could do everything. And again, probably didn't play first class cricket because he probably maybe a little bit of mentality. I don't know, but he was one of the. I remember David the same day as him, Shropshire against Herefordshire. I think I got 50 actually in Emo. I got a few wickets. A bit of a golden arm, could bowl, heavy ball, could bat. I'd say John O'Whitney. I think John O'Whitney was just, and his brothers are the same. Sam's playing a Shropshire leg spinner. Mm. Sam's different level. Sam is, but I'd say John O'Whitney was the most talented paid cricketer that I'd ever played cricket with, and that's not me being dodgy to anybody else. James Ralph was class. Other people that probably got paid, I didn't know about it. I couldn't even name, but you know, when I was at Rockstar, playing with the minor counties team, Marcus, Marv, Richard Burton. They were top class minor counties players and just class to watch and effortless and top lads with it, you know. None of these lads are name and ear idiots. They're all good lads, you know. But for me, John O'Whitney, talent wise, frightening.
Again, it comes back to effectiveness, isn't it? In sport, whether it's football, cricket, rugby, NFL, whether it's a spectator sport, and people have got to be good to watch. You know, we talk about footballers, they can glide past people, they can do things, they score spectacular winners. We want cricketers that can
change games,
win your games, just good to look at, good to watch, that sort of stuff. Good.
That's what I'm saying, John O'Whitney, man, entertaining battle ball.
Okay, right, before I move into this section, there's one name that we're not allowed to mention. We talked about it off air, mainly because he keeps telling me he wouldn't score a goal for Crystal Palace. But best club cricketer you've ever played with or against? We'll start against. Again, doesn't have to be the best or the most talented, but somebody you know that the club that they play for couldn't survive. Or would be massively. It would be a massively detrimental thing if they didn't play for it.
That's probably the easiest question you ask me. That is because, again, playing the year I played in and whatever else, I played against a lot of cricketers, good club cricketers, and they've kind of been one club cricketers. You know, Anthony Parker at Shifnal, keeper batsman, minor cat, class. You know, but for me. Ed Foster at Shrewsbury. If you took him out of Shrewsbury's team, and there's rumours he ain't going to play this summer, just from wherever it comes, I don't know. And I guarantee if he don't play, they won't be as strong, because his dad was a top player, John Foster was a top player, his brother Rob's an absolute class player. But Ed Foster, when I've played against him, I've looked to play with him a few times as well for Shropshire, stuff like Shropshire trial games, he is the best batsman I've ever seen not play first class cricket. Left-hander, just, you know, back foot drives. I stood at extra cover once in a trial game, and he back foot drove it without even touching it. I put my hand out to stop it, threw it back, and I thought, my God, he broke my hand. He hit it that hard without even trying, you know. In anything short, he just punish. Look at his stats at Birmingham. I think he must have 20, 30 hundreds in the Birmingham League. You know, you take him out of that team, and he and they'll suffer. They can't replace him. You know, you can't replace a player like that. He's just class, you know. And I didn't play a lot against him as such, because Schubert got in the Birmingham League quite quickly. But a few knockout matches, things like that. But what a player! He captured Shropshire in the one thing final at Lords and all that sort of stuff. And he got loads of the runs for Shropshire. But he was different class, and he stands out for me as the one player that I always say people talk to me about cricket. I says Ed Foster, just different level.
Again, it comes back to people that affect clubs, and club cricket is about people and personalities and things like that, not just on and off the field, and if they affect other people as well, that's a really important thing to say. Right, so that's who you played against. The name that shall not be mentioned. And I think I know where you're going to go with this, I think, minus the name that we shall not mention. Best club groups you've ever played with?
It's a tough one again, because I with the question you asked, you said the importance of them to their team.
Yeah.
It will probably aim it towards a Wem player.
Yeah.
Or two, whichever. Having played with good Birmingham League sides like Shiffler and Roxeter, you know, the people like Brian Jones and Richard Burton, like Andy Johnson, a different level at Roxeter. And like I say, every club's got players they rely on, they've got talent, etc. I think when I look at Wem especially, because I grew up there from very young age coming through, the Coen brothers at Wem for me are, you know, as effective. They might not have played in the strongest Shropshire League.
Mm.
They might not have played at the level they probably could play at, in my eyes. I think they could go and play in Birmingham League comfortably. They both had offers to go and play in Birmingham League, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Matt and Dan Coen, for me, are so important to Wem. It's unbelievable. Dan might just edge it if I had to pick one, because he's just that good with the ball. He's that good with the ball, and he just gets wickets. He just bowls. He's splice bowling. You know, everything's spliced and everything's asking questions, and he gets edges. And when he wants to, he can still bowl quick enough. Matt, destructive. Comes out with, you know, shirt untucked, looking scruffy, scratches around 5-0, and then, bang, 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 bang. He takes the game away from him. You know, so I'm going to say the Coen brothers on that one. Okay. Because the Coen brothers are so important to Wem that if they weren't there, it's just too big a hole to fill. You'd never fill that hole. Because they're both massive, for starters, in terms of their size, especially Matt, he's a beast. But, you know, those two lads, for me, you just wouldn't replace them. Not now, you wouldn't.
Yeah.
Maybe in the future.
Mm-hmm.
But clubs can't replace certain players. You know, every club has it. Norton have, you know, yeah. if you lose Jack Furnivals, as tight a cricket as you'll see.
Match winning, yeah.
He's as tight a cricket as you'll see.
With both bat and ball. That's
with bat and ball.
Yeah, yeah.
But if you don't play, or he's an Aberystwyth game for the weekend, you know, whatever it is, you'll miss him. You'll miss players like that, you know, and that's what it is. But for me, like I say, if I'm going to pick lads that I think, for longevity, they've been there for 10 years now playing first team cricket, you can't take them out of that team. You know, you just keep running. You want to keep them going, because they're just so important to the team.
You go back to that. It's a massive point that you make in terms of the essence of that third part of that section is club cricketers, and you know, there's certain people that they come up to the thing, and their level is club cricket. They're never going to be more or any less. And it's having that ability to be effective at that level. And you're quite right, every club's got talisman. Some have got three or four, some have got one or two, and they depend on those types of people. And for Wem to have brothers that are both complete polar opposites, batsman and bowler, it's a good way to look at it.
Yeah, it is, yeah.
It's one of those things. If one's having a bad week, the other one can pull one through and
bat. It's rare. I think the difference with Matt is Matt when Matt gets going, I've seen him just bludgeon attacks to all parts. Not necessarily at the coaching manual, but when the ball's flying over the rope by 40 yards, it doesn't matter. And it's going through the side screen, literally through the side screen, knocking. I see him knock a clock off the wall at Rosie, which is a big massive old clock off the wall. You know, Matt can do that, you know, as and when really. But whereas Dan, probably every game, he gets respect, too much respect really. Probably he could bowl 10 overs and be two for 20.
Yeah.
Most weeks, two for 25. Yeah. You know, three for 25, five for 20. Depends what he does. You know, he's so consistent. You know, and having those two in your team, you kind of know that of the 20 league games you're going to play, they're probably going to win you five or six between them.
Yeah.
So that's and quarter that's games.
Want. And as a league side, we all know on average, you're talking what, 12, 13 games, 14 games sees you up. And if you've got two clubbies that are going to win that between them, then you're overseas easily to win five. You're halfway there, then, aren't you?
14 wins will win you most divisions,
I think. Yeah, yeah. So I think you're kind of in that, on that box set. So, brilliant. Great set of answers. I have to say, I'm massively impressed, especially since we've just called a few people out, which is kind of quite funny. So we'll see what the reaction is for that. One final point I'd like to make. We didn't announce in episode one that you've not completely left Norton.
No.
You've announced that you're going to play a few Sundays for us.
Well, if I'm eligible for cup games, I said because last year we scratched around for a side a long time when I was captain as well. And we had a few fill-ins, let's say. Mm-hmm. You know, and I think it's just important that, I mean, my lads will still play when they can, and the kids for the kids teams might not be every week because of where I'm playing or what I'm doing, you know. But I've already said, look, you know, my lads enjoyed it last year, you know, Ralph and Rufus, they play a part. Ralph can hit it and Rufus can do a bit of everything, you know. So, you know, if we're still about the club, I'll happily help out, you know, if it's midweek 2020 or you know, a Sunday game. I live 10 minutes away, so I'm happy to help out. So
no, good. I know it'd be greatly appreciated. We've committed to try and put a Sunday side out this year. First time that we've done that in a long time in Norton's history. You know, especially with the squad that we've got this year, obviously. I know you'd be greatly appreciated. And I know on a personal level, I've really enjoyed playing with you last year. Definitely had a different dynamic and stuff, so I'd definitely like to see you in the greys. We've gone for a grey strip this year, so it'd be good to see you in a grey strip. So, and obviously, to wrap up the podcast, thank you very much for joining me this evening.
Thank you.
You've been a great guest. To wrap up episode four, thank you very much for listening to all four episodes. If you've enjoyed what it is that we're doing, please like, share, comment, join in the conversation, because we would definitely like to sort of comment on it. And if you would like to be a guest or have any comments on it, please get involved. Special thanks to the Hinds Head and Norton and Hales for hosting this evening's podcast. Thank you very much. Good evening, and I will see you next week.
This is the Norton and Hales Cricket Club Podcast.